Today seems to be a good day to start with good morning. Okay, we're having technical difficulties, but that's okay. Here's where you're going to see where the pastor preaches a sermon without any notes. Okay. There you go. Perfect adage on New Year's Eve, out with the
old,
in with the new. You know, when you're talking about a toothbrush, that's probably pretty good advice, isn't it? Yeah? I mean, right? There are certain things that tend to wear out and need to be replaced and kind of get relegated maybe to under the sink for the dirty work, or maybe they just get pitched and they get put into the trash. But when you're talking about people, right? When you're talking about people, it's a completely different story. In Psalm 71, I wanted to just call it a psalm for old people.
Thank you.
Because it's written by an old guy, because he's old, two old people because they're old, and they have got this common thing that they're old, right? And there are certain struggles and there are certain trials that I'm not being politically correct in the moment. Just assume that all of my notes were politically correct and whatever comes out is just old people have trials, right? And you've got trials and you've grown into certain trials that those weren't trials when you were middle-aged. Those weren't struggles when you were in your youth or in your childhood. Furthermore, as you grow old, there can be a tendency to have a target on your back to go out with the old and in with the new. And maybe it's not quite time to be out with the old because you're not dead yet. And God still has a plan and God still has a purpose for you. And you know that God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. And it might be a little different than when you were in your youth or when you were in your middle age. But God still has a plan, and yet there are people who are seeking to remove you from that. That's the scenario of Psalm 71. And essentially, the psalmist writes this lament song not only because he hurts, he's old, and he's going through the pains of growing old in a sin-cursed body, but he's also going through the pains of living with sin-cursed people. And people who really think that he's disqualified, not because of his wisdom or his ability, but simply because he's old. And the psalmist reminds God's elder saints. That's how I placed it. Every time I say old people, I'm saying God's elder saints. God's elder saints, he reminds them to rest in God's faithfulness, particularly God's righteous faithfulness. And that's the big idea of Psalm 71. If you want to finish life well for God, it's going to require you to rest in God's faithfulness. And likely to rest in God's faithfulness like you've never rested in God's faithfulness before. And a key attribute or characteristic that runs throughout the psalm is that God is righteous. And that faithful character of God's righteousness and resting in God's righteousness. And so this morning I'm going to read Psalm 71 in its entirety. And I want you to listen as I read for why the psalmist is hurting. Like, what are some things that he talks about physiologically that are happening? But then what's that causing him? But most importantly, I want you to listen for where's his confidence. Would you stand with me if you're able, out of respect for the reading of God's word? Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You've given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I've leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me in my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I've been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, for my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and they say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to my old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who've made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. So I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they've been put to shame and disappointed, who sought to do me hurt. Heavenly Father, I bow before you and I just ask that you would lead us through Psalm 71. Father, may your Spirit guide my thoughts, my words. May your Spirit impact your people so that they may be driven to rest in your righteous works and deeds, regardless of their circumstance and even regardless of their age. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So the Psalms were recorded and the Psalms were written in order to sing God's faithfulness through the ever-changing circumstances and emotions in life. They teach us to rest in God through the good, the bad, and the ugly of living in a sin-cursed world. And it doesn't take very long for you to live in a sin-cursed world to understand that you live with a sin-cursed body. Because it gets broken and it gets hurt. And the older you live and the older that you are on the planet and this earth, more often than not, the more it hurts. Right, elderly saints? Amen. Amen. A few of you agree. There are just certain trials that come with age that are both physical, that are mental, that are emotional, that are social and cultural. And that's just not for us today. That's really been the case since the fall, because that is the effect that sin has not only on the body and on the things of this world, but also on the people of this world. And so in Psalm 71, you heard how the psalmist, who we don't know, scholars debate whether they think it's David or Jeremiah or another prophet, and really it's a toss-up. Nobody has the corner on who exactly wrote Psalm 71. But what we do know is that he's an old guy, okay? Very clearly you hear his age here. You've heard the struggles and the vulnerabilities that he's experiencing. He feels isolated and alone. He feels weak. He feels like he's being neglected, and he feels like he's looked down upon, not because he's done something wrong, but simply because He's in the twilight years of his life. Furthermore, that's only given cause for new adversaries and new enemies of a new generation to rise up and say, well, look it, God has rejected him because he's old. And that causes him to fear. And let's face it, growing old can be fearful. Growing old can be fearful. For all of the reasons that we found or that I've just stated. For all of the reasons that the psalmist points in here. And so the psalmist goes on to lament both his age and his agingness, but also the fact that that's really why he's got this target on his back. And so the psalmist prays this song and records this song in order to remind himself and to remind God's people, God is not done with you until you're 6 feet under. And by the way, you're not supposed to be done with God until you're 6 feet under as well. Okay? Because as the psalmist goes, the psalmist's concern is really not about the joint in his knee that hurts. Okay? It's not the back ailment that's been bothering him. It's the fact that people have relegated him out of service to the Lord. And they've said, oh, you're too old to serve the Lord here. Age is forbidding you to serve the Lord. And so for those two reasons, he laments that to God. And in his lament, as we've seen throughout the Psalms, these laments, these complaints to God, really are aspects of growing our hope and our confidence in God. And as the psalmist begins, I want to point out that if you want to finish life well for God, okay, you need to stay confident in God's righteousness. Point number one here, as we see up here, is if we're going to finish life well, stay confident in God's righteous ways. There's confidence throughout all of this psalm. The psalmist talks about God as his rock, as his refuge here. He says, he talks about him as his deliverer and as his fortress. And by the way, he talks about God not only in a generic way like, okay, God, I'm kind of using you as my fortress and my rock. He says, no, since my youth, you've been this to me. This isn't something new that he's come upon. And I want to talk to the youth right now, and I want to talk to the middle-aged right now. And I want you to understand, like, don't wait to make God your rock and your refuge and your fortress. Make him your rock and your refuge and your fortress right now. Because times are only going to get harder. And that's not me being pessimistic. That's just the brute reality of living in a sin-cursed world. And the psalmist is confident in the midst of his adversity in the moment because his confidence is not wishy-washy from just, well, I hope God's going to do this. No, his hope is a confident expectation that God is his rock, is his refuge, is his fortress, because God has been his rock, his refuge, and his fortress. So lay the foundation today so that when you get to be a senior statesperson, you already know the rock to run to. You already know the fortress to rush into. You already know the refuge to go. And the psalmist is confident that God is going to do that ultimately to the point where that's why he says here in verse number 2, deliver me, rescue me, save me. In these three terms, he's looking for complete salvation. You might look at it like this, if you're in the middle of the ocean and you fell off a ship, okay, you would be in danger of dying. You would be in drastic danger. You would need complete salvation. You would need somebody to take that life ring and throw it out to you, right, and pull you back in to deliver you from that. You would need somebody to rescue you, to pick you up out of the water and place you in the ship. You need somebody to save you, to give you a towel and dry clothes, ultimately to restore you to the place that you'd been before you fell into the water. That's what the psalmist is asking for. God, restore me to where I was at before this adversity came to me. I need complete salvation. Now, this salvation is not saying, God, rewind time and make me 20 years younger. That's not what he's asking for. What he wants restored is his influence and his ability to serve God in the way that God has called him to do. Because he's facing wicked people. Verse number 4. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. And when you face the hand of the wicked, regardless of your age, and when you experience cruelty and you experience wickedness, where do you put your hope? What can you hope in? Well, the psalmist tells us where he puts his hope in verse number 2. And he says this, in your righteousness. I said in the opening that righteousness, that characteristic of God to always do what is right and just, is really the highlight of the psalmist's confidence that God will do what's right. Are you confident this morning in whatever circumstance you get yourself into, or other whatever circumstance other people get you into, that God is righteous and that God will do what's right? That's the psalmist's hope, that God's righteousness wins the day. In fact, he says in verse number 5, for you, O Lord, are my hope and my trust. And he marries two really important principles of the Christian life or the godly life, of both hope, which is not wishful thinking. Hope is a confident expectation, right? It is the expectation that through substantial evidence that God is going to fulfill what he's promised. But then on top of that, it's not just that confident expectation. It's a complete selling out of that confident expectation. That's the trust aspect. And so he says, God, I'm trusting in you. I'm confident in you that what you are going to do is right. And I know that because verse 6, I've leaned on you from my birth. Again, it's his history and it's his experience of seeing God be faithful. That's where his confidence comes from. Listen, when God is faithful to you, don't forget that. Remember it. Remember every faithful act of God, for he is faithful. And remember, God is not faithful to you. He is. We're glad for that. But God is faithful to himself. And that's more important than being faithful to you. And when we seek God for his righteous faithfulness, we seek him not because we want him or we need him to do what we think is right. We need him to do what he says is right. And particularly when you are in your old age, I presume, even though you've experienced God's righteousness and God's faithfulness from your youth, your need does not go away for God to stay righteous and to stay faithful. It's only heightened. So the psalmist says, God, I'm confident in you. I'm confident that if I'm going to finish well, that your righteousness has to win the day. Secondly, he goes on and he describes his dependence. And he says, I'm going to stay dependent on you. And I'm going to stay dependent on what you do and let God, you do what you do. So stay dependent on God to deliver you. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 20, I believe it is, right? The glory of the youth is their strength, and the glory of the aged is their, well, it's wisdom, but he actually says gray hair. It's an analogy for their wisdom. Whereas young men or young people tend to use brute strength and to depend upon their strength to control the situation. old men tend to outwit, or older people tend to outwit, outmaneuver, outtalk. Selma says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to actually just depend upon you. I'm going to stay dependent. And he looks at this, and look at what he says here in verse number 9. His first concern with dependency is, God, don't cast me off in the time of my old age. Don't forsake me. And the psalmist is first and foremost concerned about being isolated here. You know, isolation for the elderly is it's a real thing. And I think it's a little rabbit trail, if you will. You don't have a choice. We're going to go down this rabbit trail. It's important for us to remember as a church that elderly are very isolated. And they can feel very alone. And you have the power to do something. It's called, hi, nice to see you. Okay? And it's a reminder that as they are isolated, we hold the keys of, well, what again, what James says, true religion, to visit orphans and widows. That's all free. That's not necessarily within the context of the psalm. It's just a healthy reminder. But within the context of the psalm, the psalmist says, listen, I'm being attacked. I feel isolated. And it is very often that as we are attacked, we do feel isolated. And when you are older or aged, you can feel that much more isolated. So the psalmist's first request in dependence is say, God, I just need to feel your presence. But then God, verses 10 and 11, he tells them the problem. They're attacking him. They say God's forsaken him because he's old. So he says, God, be not far from me. Help me put my accusers to shame. Consume them with scorn and disgrace. And essentially he says what we've talked about over and over and over with these imprecatory psalms, or with these psalms that are lamenting for offenses against you. And that is, God's way of dealing with those offenses from a personal level is to say, God, I've been offended. You deal with it. I'm not going to. I'm not going to use my strength in my youth. I'm not going to use my power in the authority that I hold. I'm not going to use the wisdom of my age to get back at my offender. I'm going to depend upon you. And I'm going to let you take care of that. And so the psalmist here, whatever setting he's specifically going through, or whoever this is, he says, okay, God, here's the problem. You take care of it. Christian, it doesn't matter if you're 5 or if you're 95. God is the avenger of wrongs. We've talked about this over and over and over again. God is the avenger of wrongs. And God is righteous in his vengeance. You see, God will never be cruel in his vengeance. God will never be wicked in his vengeance. God will never be unjust in his vengeance. God will never give low blows in his vengeance. I don't know about you, I'll speak for myself. But all four of those are kind of where my mind immediately goes when I look for vengeance. And it reminds me that probably the temptation for vengeance is just as strong when you are 75, 85, 95 as it is when you are 25, 35, 45. And it is a choice to let God and to depend upon God to do God's work. So then the question becomes, well then, what's my work? When I'm offended, And I'm old and I can't do anything, and they've been kind of relegated me to irrelevance, what do I do? Well, point number 3 we see here is to stay active in the Lord's work. Stay active in the Lord's work. He talks about there in verse 13, God, this is what you want to do. And then he says, but I will. And he uses I will through the rest of the psalm. And in verses 14 through 21, all of his I wills deal with, God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be active in doing your work, because that's what's going to lead me to finishing well. He's going to hope continually. He's going to praise you. I will tell of your righteous acts. I will tell of your deeds of salvation. He says, I will come to you. I will remind them of your righteousness. And so the psalmist says, you know, God, I'm going to let you do what only you can do, and then I'm just going to keep doing what you've called me to do. And I tend to think possibly this is why many think that this is Jeremiah between his conversation with his youth and his young age, all the way up to just his ministry of speaking, is that the psalmist is just saying, God, I'm just going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. And I want to encourage you who are of the old elder statesmen, be faithful to God, stay faithful to God, stay active to God. Stay proclaiming, stay telling, stay sharing. Listen, everyone understands that through time there are things you can't do and there are things you can do. Don't be so worried about the things you can't do that you don't do anything. Okay? Do the things that you can do. Look at what he says. He says, I can praise you. Well, he didn't say I can. He says, I will praise you, right? Verse number 14. He says, I will tell of your righteous acts, the deeds of your salvation. That's what you can do. As long as you can talk, you can tell people about how awesome God is. You can tell them of his mighty deeds. You can remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. And one of the blessings that you and I have as New Covenant, New Testament Christians is that we understand very clearly that our righteousness does not come through following a law, even the law of God, but rather our righteousness comes through Christ alone. And the righteous acts that we do, in the religious activity that we do, there's only because it's founded upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it goes back to even what we read this morning from Psalm 119 that it's centered in a love of God, and that love seeks to serve the commandments of God. And I just want to encourage our old people today, keep serving God. Listen, your service is not in vain. I appreciate your service. You can call upon one another like I can't, okay? You can have lengthy conversations with one another like I can't. You can sympathize and empathize with one another like I can't. You can make one another meals. You can visit and go out and take out like I can't. You have a special ministry in your old age. Don't forget it, and by all means, don't neglect it. Because one day one of you needs it, and the next day the other. The next day, the other, and the next day, the other. By the way, I'm not just talking to old people here. I'm talking to all of us. Don't neglect ministry. And ministry is just simply serving people. It's serving people in the love of Christ and because of Christ. Stay active. Finally, the psalmist concludes. And he concludes with verses 22 through 24, I will praise. And he says, I'm just going to stay worshipful. And I'm going to stay worshiping you, God. And if we want to finish life well, be a worshiper. Stay a worshiper. Don't neglect worshiping. Don't neglect singing. Don't neglect playing. Don't neglect shouting for joy. And the psalmist talks about all of these aspects of his worship to God and his outward expression of worthiness to God, because that's what worship is, the outward expression of God's worth in our life. He says, I'm going to keep doing that. But I want to propose to you that he's not doing this because God made everything right in his life. In fact, the language here does not indicate it. He actually gives us the reasons. He says, for your faithfulness, in verse 22. He says, because you've redeemed my soul, in verse 23. And he says, because of your righteous help all the day long, in verse 24. And the psalmist says, God, you are worthy of worship in this circumstance, not because I've been placed in the circumstances, but you're just worthy of worship because of who you are and what you do. And our worship is not dependent on our circumstances. Our worship is dependent on our God. And if you view God through the lens of your circumstances, you will fail to worship Him. Or you will only worship Him when things are good. And the psalmist says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he goes on, and in verse 24, there's some interesting conversation among scholars and among textual critics. But he employs what I would call prophetic poetry. We've talked about this throughout the Psalms, and that is where the psalmist writes in the past tense something that he is confident will happen in the future, okay? Because he's so confident that this is the will of God and that God's going to do it, it's as though it's already done, okay? So it's the idea of, well, I'm going to write this in the past because it's just done. God's outside of time. It's as if it's good as if it's done. Well, what's that? Well, he says there, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. In other words, the psalmist just says, I'm just going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep doing what's right. I'm going to stay active. I'm going to stay confident. I'm going to stay hopeful. And yeah, I'm going to complain, but God, you want my complaint, so I'm going to keep complaining to you. And you know what? As I do that, you're going to figure it all out, and they're going to be put to shame. Let me tell you, the best way to silence your critics is just to stay faithful. And God just often, so often uses faithfulness to do what is right and to do His will to silence your critics. And that is true, by the way, whether you are a child or whether you're elderly. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. And stay faithful because God is faithful. Stay faithful because God is righteous. Stay faithful because God has redeemed you. Stay faithful because God is your rock and your fortress, your ever-present help in the time of trouble. Christian, when we live in a sin-cursed world with a sin-cursed body, with sin-cursed people, we will be affected by sin and afflicted by sin. And the remedy to that sin is God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His Word. And although in the immediate, the ease and the comfort that we seek are rarely ever going to be found, we live for a day when it won't be found. I want to just leave you with this thought. It's not mine. You heard it about a month ago, almost exactly a month ago. Chris Hartwick said this statement, and I just want to end with this. For the Christian, God's retirement plan is heaven. That's the retirement plan. But before heaven, it's only work. Stay faithful. Rest in God's faithfulness, particularly His righteousness, in order to finish well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,